everyone, and welcome back to Starfellows, your favorite D&D podcast in a galaxy far, far away. I'm your Dungeon Master, Rob, and with me, as always, are my friends, Hannah.
What up?
Amelia Somm.
Sup.
And Brennan.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're all gonna die.
No, this is a horrible way to start my day.
Where we left off last, the Argoplex was being overrun by a horde and militia of Red Maw soldiers, hive drones, and possessed civilians. A plethora of enemies had erupted from the ground all around you all while you were investigating the mayor's office and then the central arc projector in the middle of town. In a moment of chaos and panic, you all entered the cave that had formed in the middle of this district that leads to the underground tunnels, which the Red Maw have been using as their base of operations this entire time. As you entered this cave, El's Jedi Master, Kobe Cornelius, closed the entrance behind you so you would not be overrun with the battle that is being waged above you. So as you enter this cave, you are plunged into poignant darkness. It is no light, and with the smoke, meaning that it's very difficult to see what's going on around here without producing some light yourselves. So that's where we begin. How would you guys like to proceed?
Well, I have dark vision, so I can see in dim light 60 feet in front of me as if it were bright light. So,
in dim light, okay.
I got night vision, so I can see in as Rob would say, a dark cave of darkness.
Night vision and then dark vision, great. So you two are gonna be mostly okay, and then
I also have dark vision.
Oh, great. Okay, so everybody can see in the dark.
Yeah, I'm not going to play something that doesn't have dark vision.
Right. Now, the wording of that is dim light, and I will say is that there is currently no light source
you see,
at the moment.
You see in darkness as if it were dim light. So, it's just in grayscale. So,
gotcha.
Dim light is bright light. Darkness is dim light.
Wonderful. Great. So, the cave is mostly dim then. For how you guys are able to perceive it. Go ahead and just roll me, basically I'll just describe this for you. So you're in a stone cave. It looks like that this cave was created by somebody moving a whole lot of earth upwards, and you can see that the tunnel that you're in has like bore marks as if drilled out recently. It is very steep from what you guys can feel under your feet. The ground descends at about a 45 degree angle downwards, in some places, making it very difficult to traverse. And I think if you guys are ready to proceed, I'm going to need a series of perception checks to be able to just like see your footing well and get where you need to go through this cave.
I would love to give you a perception check, Rob. I would love nothing more.
I would love fewer perception checks, if I can solicit that. it's a 9.
What are the odds I could make an investigation check as we're looking through, just to see if I can, less of like, what is the vibe of this cave, and more of, are there footprints, have people been in here recently, that kind of stuff.
You can make an investigation check too if you want, but it's not going to replace the perception check, because the perception check is to be able to like see where like the good footing is on this like steep downward slope.
Okay, well that's dumb, because my perception check was a 10 and then my investigation was a nat 20.
Okay,
so I have a 24 investigation and a 10 perception.
And how did Akla do on
I
perception?
Got a 19.
A 19. Okay, cool.
Nice.
So, Akala, I'm going to say that you are going to progress first through this cave and are going to be able to, like, see pretty dexterously, like, where you're going. as you descend this like very steep slope down, you notice like areas where there are a lot more looser rocks. There's some areas it looks like they have some pitfalls in the cave, just natural rock formations that lead into steep cavernous descents. You also are able to see in front of you that like there are multiple splitting branches of this cave pretty quickly as you descend downward. Al, with your investigation check, I'm going to say the nat 20 investigation check, the most like meaningful thing that you can deduce in just the entryway of this cave is that these caves are likely a mix of like natural forming caves and then like artificially carved out spaces, which means that like the areas that are going to be more natural that are less explored are going to be more dangerous in terms of just like the actual structure of where you are. The man-made sections are going to be safer to traverse unless they're unstable, but like where there is a lot of like technology and infrastructure from the power systems that are deeper underground, like those are going to be safer traversing. So the more dangerous parts are going to be like the like recently dug out parts of the cave and the like more naturally forming areas that are less explored. However, since you two failed your perception checks, I'm going to need an athletics check from L and from Rama.
Oh,
athletics. Can I petition perhaps a dexterity check?
Sorry, an athletics saving throw. Or a,
you or so a
dexterity.
Dexterity saving throw.
Dexterity saving throw. Sorry, it's early.
Okay, wait. What am I rolling?
Dexterity saving throw.
Oh, I liked it better when it was athletics. That's an 8.
That's not great. That's a 13. Come on, die. I want to roll above a 10 today. We're 0 for 3 on that.
So you guys are looking around this cave, and you're starting your like slow descent down after Akala. And as like different mouthways of the cave start opening up, you guys both step on some insecure rock and start sliding very quickly down the right side of the cave, and in a matter of a few seconds are completely out of visibility range from Akala. You guys slide down with rocks and dust like popping up like all around you, and you two basically fall down this like long like slide in this cave, and at the very end of it you both hit a very hard rock and come to an abrupt stop after about 15 seconds of sliding down this cave. And you both are going to take 3 damage. So from Akala's perspective, you're just walking like normally down this like steep cave, and both of your friends slip and just start sliding down in a puff of dust, and you completely lose track of where they are. Amazing. In this like cave.
Are you both okay?
What's the point of all this damn Beskar if I can't hold up against a rock? El, how you doing?
I'm fine.
I'm going to say, so you guys are like in voice range because of the cave, but I want to emphasize that you guys like slid a long way. Like, it is not very obvious where you guys are in like reference to each other.
Do I know where they went? Do I know which way they slid?
You can roll me an investigation check.
Where's investigation? I always lose it. Oh, that's a nat 20.
Nice.
Nat 20.
23, yeah.
Wow, nat 20 exactly investigation checks for the table.
Yeah, okay. So, yes, you do know where they went. They were walking, like, on the, like, right-hand side of you, and that's where you saw them slid and where the puff of, like, dust and smoke was that they created when sliding through. You are able to like look ahead in front of you and see like the different possible like holes in the cave that they could have gone like through next. And you deduce that on the right hand side there is like a larger kind of like hole that goes up to about waist level and like is like a hole like in a cave wall and part of the ground that they likely slid into. And so you can go over to that if you'd like.
Yeah, I'll go try to get him.
Great. So like I said, this is like a waist-high hole, so you have to kind of like crouch down or like slide down in there with them to see what's going on. From your guys' perspective, El and Rama, you guys like feel that you're in like a very tight space. That you like where you've landed feels like it is no broader than like if both of you were to stand shoulder to shoulder, you guys would be hitting the width of the walls. And it's like not incredibly obvious like where to go next from this.
Two questions.
Yes.
First question. If I lend aid to myself, can I add my charisma modifier instead of my wisdom modifier to my healing?
Brilliant. If you can, I mean, if you can both do, yeah, I mean, if you can lend aid to yourself and as a function of your other abilities, change your modifier, I think so. What is the wording of that, that you're trying to finagle?
Well, okay, so you know how I've been using charisma to cast everything regardless of lightness or darkness?
Oh, yes, because you're a neutral force caster, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why I'm wondering if I could just use charisma. Otherwise, I'll just use wisdom. I just want more hit points. That's it.
Yeah, you can use your wisdom modifier because that's what you use to cast.
Other way around, but yeah.
Or charisma, yeah.
Cool. Okay, I'm going to lend aid on myself then and burn a channel the force. And then my other thing is, if I turn on my lightsaber, do we get a better idea of, like, this space? Yeah,
your lightsaber will naturally cast light.
Yeah, cool.
But, like, not very brightly. I'm only going to say it's going to cast light in, like, a 5-foot radius.
It's like that mood lighting, you know, whenever they're having a lightsaber battle in the dark.
Yeah, keep it nice and homoerotic.
Whenever L opens up his lightsaber, can I take out my flashlight, which is, like, equally as bright?
It's probably brighter.
The flashlight will shine, like, 50 foot in a single direction.
I really like the imagery of like, all right, let's go, and El bringing out a lightsaber and Rama taking out a flashlight.
A lightsaber that's too long to fit in this fucking cave.
I can hold it the other direction. And I just do one side.
Yeah, so like you both illuminate this like small room, and like you look around and you don't really see like much in here like going forward. There are just like some narrow like gaps in the wall that are about like 2 feet wide that somebody like smaller could fit through to try to move through this area, but otherwise like you guys just like slid through a hole in the entranceway of this cave that essentially led to like an empty room, and the hole to get back up like into the other area is about like 10 feet above where you're standing.
Can I try to climb in?
Yeah, you can try to climb. You can make me an athletics check to do that.
Cool.
Or actually an acrobatics check, because you're trying to like squeeze through space.
I don't know what I did to hurt you, Rob. But you keep throwing dexterity at me. That's a 16.
16? Okay, you're able to climb through back to the hole.
Can I try it?
Yeah, you can try it too.
All right, come in right after you.
18.
18 is able to succeed as well.
Awesome.
Great, so you guys climb back through the hole. You had your little misadventure of sliding around the cave. You can feel above you and all around you the cave that you're in shaking as like detonations of large explosives above you start going off. You can still hear the sounds of lightsabers and energy weapons and bullets interact up above. You're still, if you want to have it active, you'd still hear the radio chatter from the other Jedi that are currently in the battle. It doesn't sound great, but the cave itself seems unstable from the fighting and then also from just being a newly formed cave. Okay, so this is how the map is going to work. So you guys acquired the map of the underground system from the mayor's office, from Mayor Colville's safe. One of you, I'm going to say, is going to have the map and be the designated holder of that. As you guys move through these caves, you can make an intelligence check on the map to help you guys advance through the cave without further issue. The better you are at reading the map, the less likely it is that you're going to get lost. or that you will run into pitfalls.
Who has the highest intelligence here?
I have. My intelligence is 10, so probably not me.
My intelligence is 10, so probably not me.
I will hold the map with my 12 intelligence.
Also, Rob, just for your information, I do have tremor sense. I don't know how that's going to help me, but I have that. So I can detect and pinpoint the origin of vibrations within a specific radius out to 30 feet.
Out to 30 feet? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll keep that in mind.
Again, I don't know if that's going to help, but that's something that I have.
Okay. Great. So if you'd like to use the map, go ahead and roll me an intelligence check to begin to see if you can learn anything successful from this map.
12.
12? Okay. A 12 is pretty close to being able to use this map like at its max, like optimal effectiveness. Mm-hmm. The issue you're having right now is that like this part of the cave is pretty new. So what you're able to see is that just like just going down and straight for the meantime is going to be productive. But since you don't have this area firmly mapped out based on the records that you have, you're not really sure like which of the available tunnels like in this main area of the cave is the best to go down. But you feel confident that like heading down through the biggest tunnels is going to lead you towards the more established caves in this system.
Yeah. I think we need to try and get to older parts of the tunnels. A lot of this isn't on the map.
Okay, I'll follow your lead.
Right behind you.
Great. So you guys continue walking. Monkey materializes beside you guys as well and provides some light from a small flashlight on the side of his head. You guys progress through some of these tunnels, and you eventually get to a spot where you're in like a carved out like circular room. There is like a faint dripping coming from the ceiling, and you're presented with a few different paths, three options. One of these options is waterlogged. Essentially, there is like a half foot of water kind of like splashing up from one of the tunnels of the cave. One of the tunnels is dry and seemingly ordinary, and one of the tunnels has just like some faint flickering coming from the distant reaches of it.
Well, I'm not a huge fan of walking and standing water.
Yeah, I agree.
Sounds rather unpleasant, so...
Were there two tunnels or three?
Three. So one of them, the middle tunnel, it looks like it's dry, it's not waterlogged, it looks just like an ordinary stone tunnel. And then one area has, like, some faint light flickering from the distant reaches of it, but you can't tell, like, what the light is. It just, like, occasionally you get, like, little, like, sparks in the darkness from that area.
I'm inclined to go investigate the light flickering.
Okay.
Can I toggle to my heat vision instead of my turn dark to dim vision to see if it's I see anything that way?
Yes. So you turn on your thermal vision and it just isn't helpful because everything around you is cold stone and like the flickering in the distance is like far enough where you're not registering heat from it. All you're seeing is the same little flash.
All right. I'll turn back to dim vision and keep walking.
Okay. So as you guys start walking towards these flashes, you start to hear some light chatter. Like in the distance, you hear like the sound of voices, but it's just not very intelligible.
I'm going to like stealth, but I want to keep moving closer to the voices.
Okay, so you're going to enter stealth?
Yeah, and I'd like to try and hear what they're saying.
Okay. Go ahead and roll me a stealth check.
20. Dirty.
A dirty 20. Great. That'll do it. So you start like creeping along this cave. Is everybody else kind of staying behind or is everyone else just kind of like harumphing behind?
I'll stealth as well.
Yeah, I'll stealth behind.
Plus 5 from Dex, minus 1 because of the best cars. It's a plus 4. A dirty 20 as well.
Wow.
Yes. Six.
Oh no.
Okay, so Aqualung rolled a six.
I'll stay in the back.
Yeah, so you're in the back, so that's fine. So you guys are creeping along the hallway, and there's these flickers of light and some like faint human chatter up in front of you. As you guys progress through the cave, the sounds become a little bit more clearer. You hear the sounds of swooshing weapons, like somebody swinging something around. And as you take a few steps closer, you start hearing the familiar hum of lightsabers. Just vroom, 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 vroom. And you can hear somebody essentially swinging a lightsaber around. What's odd is that it sounds like the lightsaber itself isn't very stable. And the voices seem to be speaking about this as well. As you guys get closer, you hear them say, "I don't know why it doesn't stay lit. We followed the instructions. It just won't stay stable." "Well, perhaps you're not doing it right. I don't understand. I don't know how these things work either." "It's just a pain. If you were going to use so much resources to make them, I don't know why they wouldn't work." You just keep hearing them, like, swinging around a light weapon.
Can I get closer to see?
Sure. Is the whole party going to move with you?
Well, that's a great question.
Since I rolled low on stealth, I think I'll stay back, maybe.
Would we, you have to tell me, but would we continually roll for stealth as we get closer and closer, or does our previous check last?
No, your previous check will last, because you guys are approaching from pretty far away, okay. In, like, mostly darkness. Okay, so...
All right, so I'll also continue, then.
Great. So, Akla, you're just going to, like, post up 30, 40 feet behind them?
Yeah, maybe I'll just check the back. Just, you know, be a guard from back here.
As you guys, keep creeping up to this opening where these people are swinging around lightsabers, what you see is a human woman and a Trandoshan male each have a red, spluttering, unstable lightsaber that looks like it's made mostly from, like, scraps. And kind of much like the lightsaber you saw Sue wielding in the video from when she broke into the Arrakeet estate, these blades don't look stable. And now you're able to kind of see what they're talking about a little bit, in that, like, they're having difficulty keeping them on. And so as you're kind of, like, creeping to the mouth of this tunnel, you see them kind of, like, not fighting each other, because they're not, like, sparring, but just, like, trying to, like, work on the weapon itself. Since your stealth is high enough, they're not going to notice you right away. But what would you like to do as you kind of come across them?
This is out of my area of expertise.
Light sword.
I think I'm going to... How far away am I from them?
I'm going to say at this moment, you're like 60 feet.
Huh. I'm going to keep getting closer.
Also, I take it that you have turned your lightsaber and your flashlight off.
Yeah, my lightsaber has probably been off since we got out of the little... Well, since I started climbing, really. Climbing with a lightsaber doesn't seem like a great idea.
It's not. It's not a good idea. Great. So, what are you going to do?
I'm going to keep getting closer. Like, I'm going to get as close as I can while reasonably staying hidden.
Okay, so you, like, enter this, like, cave room, and there are... boxes and crates that all have the Red Maw logo stamped on it, like a pair of, like, red, like, teeth and jaws. You also see that these two are dressed in kind of the Red Maw garb. They've got jackets with the patches on them. Each one has a gun and now a lightsaber. And when you're looking around this room very much looks like a supply depot. There's, like, ammunition. There's grenades around. There's a few, like, tents and cots set up. It's a decently sized room, but, like, nothing out of the ordinary for a cave. I imagine that you and Ram are kind of like sneaking up behind some of these boxes and behind some of these crates. And as you do, you hear more of their conversation.
Sue was adamant that we would be more powerful with these things, but all we've done is cut up the crystal, and instead of selling it, we've turned it into this junk. I mean, really, how is this better than a sword? I don't understand.
I think you're just using it wrong. I don't know. Have you tried twisting this knob?
That's too much.
They're just fucking around with their lightsabers.
Yeah, I want to get close until I'm basically within. How close can I get to them?
I think you can get within 30 feet before you're running the risk of them, like, seriously noticing you.
Okay, I'll get within 30 feet.
Ella's just behind them.
I will. Once I'm within 30 feet, I will bonus action Sheehan form. And then I will run at them and use force technique to strike.
Okay. Since you're surprising them, I'll let you go first in the initiative order. And I'll let you roll to hit.
Cool. I don't get like advantage or anything because they're surprised.
I think you just get to act first. I think you still need to roll normal.
Oh, bless. That's a 24 to hit.
No.
The Woo. Natural 16.
Okay, 24 to hit. That will do it.
Natural I think this is technically a melee weapon attack, not a force attack. But that's still a 21, which has to hit. And then they take... as part of force technique, as I start up my lightsaber, it glows even brighter than usual, as if it has some sort of renewed vigor from the force. And the first target, whoever was closer, takes 6 points of energy damage.
Okay.
And then if they willingly move before my next turn, then they take 2d8 force damage.
Alrighty. Great. Everyone roll initiative.
I got a 17.
Oh, darn. That is a 13.
That's a 7.
First and last.
I rolled an 8 on a die 3 times this session. Must have weighted this or something.
So, Rama, you got a 13, and L, you got...
7.
Oh, 7. And then, Akali, you got 15?
17.
17. Wonderful. Okay. so, you have your surprise round. Akali, you are still, like, 90 feet back at this point, because we ruled that you were, like, sitting back at the entrance of the cave. So, you're about... 30 feet from, like, the entrance of the cave, and then, like, 90 feet total from L, who just smacked a Trandoshan across the face.
How do they look after that smack?
So you hit him with your lightsaber, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he doesn't actually look that bad. He had his light weapon out and was, like, messing with it. So, like, when you came and did this, he was able to, like, actually deflect some of the blow, and you only were able to hit him kind of for, like, a minor cut with the lightsaber. You still surprised him enough to damage him, but you didn't, like, take his heart out or anything.
Yeah.
So, Akala, what would you like to do?
I'm gonna... So, I'm 90 feet away. I'm gonna just use my movement regularly to catch up with everyone. So, that's 30 feet. And then I'm gonna use slow time, which is a force-empowered self option. So, that gives me a little bit extra movement. So that gets me an extra 5 feet. So I moved 35 feet. So that gets me within, what is that? 90 minus 35?
55.
55, you got it. Can I still dash? Can I still use my dash action to get an extra 30 feet?
And so you've used your movement and your action to move so far?
No, I don't think force empowered self is an action.
It's just
what's the wording on force empowered self?
Your training allows you to harness the mystical energy of the force throughout your body. You learn three effects: deflection, double strike, and slow time. Each effect costs 1 point and uses a d4, which changes as you gain sentinel levels, as shown in the kinetic dice.
It says you can only use
each effect once per round, and then slow time says when you move on your turn, you can roll a kinetic combat die to increase your speed by 5 times the amount rolled until the end of your turn. Also, I rolled the wrong dice, but that's fine. I keep forgetting.
So if you use your action to dash, you would get an extra 35 feet, not an extra 30 feet then.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Because it increases your movement, not just that one move.
Okay.
So like your movement, whatever your movement speed is when you took your movement, if you take your action to dash, you get that increased movement, not just the regular baseline.
Okay. Yeah, sure. I will do that.
Okay, great. So you move then like 70 feet total into the center of the cave?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. Move 35 and 35. So great. So you dash like 70 feet forward from where you were, just like crouching on the outskirts of this cave. And you dash in. And now with like multiple lightsabers kind of illuminating this place, you see that this is like a larger encampment than was originally clear. And some Red Maw members that were sleeping kind of in the darker areas of the cave are starting to wake up as well. With that being said, now comes the enemies. So first of all, the enemy that was just hit by L. So one of these acolytes is going to try to curse L and Rama. So I need both of you to make charisma saving throws.
That's a natural one. Does a 9 succeed?
It does not.
I was so excited when you said charisma saving throw.
12, okay. I can't do heads up, because I'm going to have a feeling the nat 1 probably fails regardless, so...
Oh, did you also get a nat 1?
No, I can't use heads up on myself, I don't think. I think I only use it on you, and
well, it depends on how rules is written we're going. Rules is written, a nat 1 isn't an auto-fail, it's just only an auto-fail and an attack, but...
All the same, though, I don't think my d6 would be high enough.
Probably
for a 9. Let me do some math. So I got a 9 on the die. Again, just one roll above 10 would be great this session, which makes it a 12, but I can't use heads up on myself. When a friendly creature you can see here makes a saving throw, I just stuck with a 12. Does a 12 succeed, Rob?
A 12 does not save. So what happens, this Trandoshan like deflects your attack, and on his initiative, like waves a hand like in front of you and Rama, and you guys feel like sluggish and like demotivated essentially. And the first time each turn that you guys make an attack roll or a saving throw before this power ends, you must roll a d4 and subtract the number rolled from that saving throw or attack roll.
This is concentration, though, yeah?
It is concentration.
Okay.
Yeah.
Someone just got a target on their back. Three blaster large.
Yes. And so that was his action. He can't move without...
Oh, he could move.
Attacks of opportunity. So he's going to end his turn. His female human friend, on the other hand, is going to make two melee weapon attacks against you, L. We're going to roll to hit.
It's fine. You're not going to hit.
To the raw 19.
I'm going to use... Wait, what's that with modifiers?
With modifier, that's a 23.
Okay, fine. I'll let that one hit.
A 23 and a 14?
Yeah, the 14 doesn't hit.
Okay. So that does 6 damage to you. So with her, like, spluttering, like, prototype lightsaber, she, like, does, like, a very big overhead swing that you're able to, like, mostly like jump back away from, but it does like skitter across your armor and like does like singe you a little bit, but nothing major. Then it is going to be Rama's turn.
All right, so I am going to aim at the person who cursed L and myself. I'm going to use precision attack. Well, actually, I can make it after I do use the attack roll, so we'll probably do that later. So I'm just going to take out my akimbo and forego my reaction, shoot three times. Remind me, I can't use heads up in case of a saving throw because it's a reaction, so let's see here. All right. That's a 21.
21 hits. Also, you have to subtract a d4 from your
roll.
Yeah,
so it's actually a 19. The other one is a... that's a 10. Minus 2. Yeah, that's not going to work. That's an 8. Not worth precision attack.
It's only on your first roll that you take the d4.
Oh, really? Okay, so that is a... In that case, it's a 12.
The first time each time, yeah.
This one is a 30-20. I'm going to expend the precision attack to add a d6 to the 12. Damn, I only added 2. So that's a 14. So I got a 14, a 20, and a 19.
So the 20 and the 19 hit. Go ahead and roll damage.
6 and 5, it's 11, plus energy is 10, 20. That is 21 energy damage from the shots.
Okay, that's a lot. And that was on the Trandoshan that cast Curse on you.
Yeah. Also, can we stop with the Trandoshans? I want Thermal Vision to work. It's like the 10th Trandoshan. Sick of this. too many lizards.
It's almost like I've kept like it consistent about who participates in this criminal organization.
It's just bullshit.
Hey, night vision still works. So yeah, you shoot this man twice and wound him severely. He still seems to be alive though. So with keeping concentration, I need to roll. Does that mean I need to roll 2 Constitution saving throws or just 1 for taking damage?
If it's 2 hits, it would be 2 throws.
Okay.
Wait a minute. Is he holding anything?
Holding his lightsaber.
Ooh, can I use a disarming blow? It's just when I hit and roll damage, I can add the disarming blow, and he has to make a strength saving throw.
Oh, yeah, you can try if you like.
All right, so the strength saving throw, physical is a DC 16. For me, that's an extra 2 damage. Whoop-de-doo.
And then what's the DC for saving on strength?
16.
Okay, he passes. And then constitution. Yeah, he rolls a 3. Okay, so the curse power ends. He looks very hurt and very shaken up. It is going to be now after Rama's turn, it's going to be the two other Red Maw members who are sleeping in the corner. A Twi'lek and a human male were sleeping on cots and have arisen kind of very sleepily, been just like, what's all the oh shit, and then they turn on their lightsabers as they see like, yeah, their friends having a duel essentially with a trained Jedi. The first one is going to cast Drain Vitality on Rama.
How close is Rama to me?
I'd say you guys are within 10 feet.
Within 10 feet? Are you sure it's not within 5 feet?
Why do you ask?
Because of my aura.
Yeah, I think that since you went first and like melee attacked and then Rama like did not progress as much in shoot. And, like,
that's
like,
fair.
I don't think you guys are within 5 feet. Like, I think Rama is...
That's so fair. I just have to ask.
Am I within 5 feet of either of these two?
You're still...
Aren't you like 20 feet away?
20 feet away from L. I think from Rama, you might be pretty close. I don't know.
I didn't know if they moved all the way in.
Yeah, you were 90 feet away from me at the beginning of your turn.
So you moved to 70. You're definitely not next to I also don't think that you're next to Rama either. Like, it's a pretty decent cave. I think you guys are a little bit more spread out than that.
Just like a decent cave.
Just ask.
It's a decent. It's not super sexy, but it's it's all right.
You went straight to sexy.
I don't know why I did. It's very decent. Fix that in post.
Keep it in. people deserve to know.
Right. So this is just me rolling to hit against Rama.
And it's not saving. I'll tell you. Can I duck?
That's going to be a 19 to hit.
Yeah, that is.
So you're going to take 2d6 necrotic damage.
Oh my lord.
Which comes out to 9 necrotic damage. Yes. So at the end of your next turn, you can make a constitution saving throw against the power, and it'll end. But if not, then we get to roll these die. That was one of their turns. The other one is going to... let me just like roll a luck check real quick for this man. He did not do great. So the other one starts, instead of like attacking, like starts like rooting around in a box, for something like what looks like an ammo crate, and is going to forego his turn for the moment, and is going to hold his action, which is going to bring us back up to Akala.
Wait, where do I go?
You had a surprise round, but you rolled last, so it's now your turn. Sorry.
Okay.
I have a habit of doing that with you. I have no idea why. I'm sorry.
So rude. It's okay. It's not Pride Month, so I can't even say you're homophobic. Okay, so there's two in front of me, and then there's two... One guy who's in the bed, and one guy's rooting around a thing, yeah?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Is the guy who's holding the Star Wars 5e equivalent of Bane. I don't know what it is, but I know what it is. is he the most damaged right now?
The one that just cast against Rama is at full health. The one that you were attacking, that like cursed you, is very low.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the one that I was attacking, the one who was talking to them, the one who is rooting through the crate, and the other one, and I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, and I'm going to start with number one, and I'm going to hit him with my lightsaber twice. I'm going to cut this bitch down.
Okay.
First, I'm going to bonus action Way of the Krayt Dragon. This just does... it's a channel of the Force. No, it's not. No, it's not. Ha ha ha. Yeah, I'm just going to do that. It just lets me attempt to damage a second creature. So the first attack... That is a 18 to hit.
18 hits.
And then the second attack is only an 11. Damn.
Okay.
Does the 11 hit?
No.
Okay, so that's 9 points of damage, and there's a person standing next to him, yeah?
Yes, the woman that was, like, talking with him and engaged with him when you guys surprise attacked them.
What was my first hit? Was an 18?
Mm-hmm.
Would an 18 hit her?
Yeah.
She takes, 2 points of damage.
Oh, okay.
So they both take energy damage. And that's my turn.
Okay, so the first man that you attacked, you kill, so you can finish him how you would like.
Yeah, so when I number off 1, 2, 3, 4, and I say, you're up, and I just slice him in half.
Holy
and then I
shit.
Look at number two. Can I just make an intimidation check?
yeah. Yeah, you can.
Oh, that's not great. It's only a 15.
These people don't know what the fuck they're doing with these weapons.
Nah.
A fully trained Jedi with a double-bladed working lightsaber just jumped one of their friends, numbered them all, and killed them. I'm going to say that this woman fails her her constitution saving, like, just auto-fails, and, like, immediately, like, kind of starts, like, sobbing, drops her light weapon, and starts, like, running away. I mean, like, all... Yeah, I'll let you make an opportunity attack on her for because she's not disengaging. She's just like dropping her shit and running.
Yeah, absolutely. That's another 18 to hit.
Yeah, it's.
That's only 1 point of damage.
Okay. Yeah, kind of lighthearted. You like strike out with your.
Yeah, I'm not trying to kill her. I'm just trying to like.
Yeah.
Tell your friends.
You definitely like singe her back a little bit, and you hear her like yelp, and like run like faster, and you hear her like collide with some stone. You hear like rocks like shift under her feet as she like very quickly tries to like get out of this room, and that'll bring us back up to Akala. There's still two other Redmaw acolytes in this cave.
Okay, I'll let Elle deal with her, even though I don't want her running off to her friends. So I will, whoever looks healthiest, I'm going to attack them. But first I will use my bonus action for force imbuement. So who am I attacking?
Well, there is the two options are the like human that is now rummaging through like what looks like to be an ammo crate. And the other one is somebody that looks like they just cast a force power on Rama.
Okay, I'll hit the one who was attacking Rama.
Okay. How would you like to attack them?
I'm going to phase throw. So first hit is 23.
That hits.
Second hit is also a 23.
Yeah, both hit.
Cool, I'm going to fuck this guy up. Hold on, math. 15 for the damage of the first hit. And 11 for the second. So that's what, 26? No. Yeah? 26.
26? Yeah, that'll do it. So with 26 burst damage, like this is most of this man's HP, and he completely doesn't see it coming. So with your saber throw, you completely cut off this man's hands, like both of them that were outstretched. Jesus. You throw your lightsaber at him, hit him twice, and completely lop off both of his hands. And he immediately drops from the fight and starts rolling around and screaming at the loss of his limbs on the cave floor.
Oh my God. This is gonna do so much, like so well for their perception of Jedi, right?
Yeah, so like the cave fills with like Wilhelm screams and... And yeah, your like soul like kind of like ricochets around the cave a little bit, comes back to your hand.
Love that.
And like you feel like the cave like rumbling again, like another kind of earthquake or detonation happened to like shift the ground of the cave. Some rocks start like lightly falling down onto you guys. You guys like feel like pebbles like hit your shoulders and stuff. Right, so that was Akla's turn. So last remaining member of the Red Maw who's in this fight, who's rummaging around, is going to take that now. He reaches in to this ammo crate, says, found it, and he pulls out a detonator.
Jesus Christ.
not the grenade version, like a literal detonator button. And he says, see ya. And the cave fills with fire and smoke.
Hello, everyone. I hope you're having a good Wednesday. We have just released season 4, episode 33. And I wanted to say thank you for waiting so very patiently for this episode. And I wanted to come on here to say that we have officially wrapped season 4. Kind of crazy. And what that means is the very next episode is going to be the last episode of Guildfellows ever. Kind of crazy, insane. It'll be the last, like, regular, like, story episode. We're going to have a season 4 wrap episode, as we always do, and then we're going to have a podcast postmortem wrap up, whatever. So as you're hearing this, if you're in our Discord channel, our question channel will be open for both season four questions and podcast overall questions. I think we're probably gonna like go season by season and just kind of reflect and see how far we've come and all this stuff. But take this as the opportunity to kind of, you know, talk to all of us as a unit for the last time, possibly. So, yeah, that's what we're gonna do. Which also means this is gonna be my last announcement, update, whatever thing ever, probably. So, yeah. I don't know. That's really all I kind of have to say. I'm a little behind on our social media pages, so I apologize for that. But we'll get there. We'll catch up. And yeah, next week's going to be the very last story episode, season four finale. And then I'm not 100% sure when the wrap-up episodes are going to happen. They may not happen for a while, simply because a lot of us are busy and we're just kind of working around our schedule. So they might not happen for a few weeks. We're going to try to squeeze them in eventually. We're going to try to squeeze them in quick. But if they don't happen for a minute, then they won't happen for a minute. But they'll definitely at least come out this summer. I will make sure that happens. They'll come out as soon as I can wrangle everyone together. So, yeah. That's it, I think. That's all I really want to say. I don't really need to go into the regular spiel that I do because, I don't know, it's almost over. Yeah, thank you to Arcane Anthems for the theme song, as always. And thank you to everyone who has listened thus far. And we'll get into it more once those wrap-ups come out. But... yeah, that's what I've got. Thank you for listening. That's all I've got for you guys today. We love you all so much. Keep your heads up. Stay safe. We love you. I'll see you later. Bye-bye.
Detonators that had been placed around the cave all detonate at the same time, and huge chunks of rock and ash fill the room. I need everybody to make me a dexterity saving throw.
Holy fuck.
Again, dude. With the dex saves.
Listen, we love dex saves up in here.
I'm gonna use my Meesh dice.
I got 11.
You cursed me, Meesh. I failed so bad. I don't even want to say what the number is. It's
amazing.
None of us got over a 10. Jesus Christ.
So
I didn't get over. Plus, I got a 3.
Okay, hold up. So
wait,
that's
I got
plus
over
five.
A 10. I got 11.
That's a 13.
We can't total. Do math.
Did anybody get... So with modifiers, you got an 11?
Yeah.
Just once, I'd like to use head. Actually, I forgot my action, my reaction that's turn, so I can't. Are you kidding me? That's the fourth 8 this session. All right, so plus 5 is a 13.
13. So nobody rolled above a 15?
No.
Okay.
Getting a new die.
Time to die, I guess. Time to get buried alive.
Not like that. Rama's like, not like this. Not like this. Not like this.
Everyone's going to take 4 damage.
Okay, that's not that bad.
Okay, that's... okay.
But the cave does start coming down around you. And as larger and larger rocks settle and fall, everyone is buried under a thick cloud of smoke, and a layer of like rocks and debris. You guys need to try to free yourselves, and get out of here.
So like a strength saving throw or like an athletics check?
Are we still in initiative or no?
Not an initiative anymore. So okay. this is just getting your bearings.
Can I use like a combination of like force push and pull and my own strength to get out from under the rocks? Because that's just a cantrip, so I can kind of keep doing that as much as I need to move.
I also
want to
do that.
Yes. Yeah, you can absolutely do that. So you two are both able to use your force powers to lift off some of the heavier debris. What becomes clear to you, Akala, as you start moving around debris and you like hear L doing the same thing, is that you turn to where it sounds like L is like moving rocks and debris, and you come face to face with a floor to ceiling pile of rock and rubble.
Okay, so that is like separating me from them, is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I can't move any of that.
You can certainly see what happens. You can try.
Okay, I don't like the way you said that, but like, what do I do? Like, can I just try to force push? Like, is it like loose rocks that are like creating a wall? Like, what's the deal here?
Yeah, so like, it's not like a flat wall. What to describe it more.
So it's like
more
a pile like, up to the ceiling, is what you're saying.
Yes.
Okay.
Of like huge like cave rocks. I mean, like some of them are quite big, but it's not like a flat wall. It is like
a pile
that like comes up. So like you would have to like dig out a significant portion of these rocks like over time to try to like clear space here.
Is Rama on my side or on El's side?
You don't see him.
Do I see him?
Well, Rama can't use the force to get rocks off of himself, so let me...
Hold on. He does have detonators.
Go. I'm just gonna yell. Rama, where are you?
I'll be honest, I can't really tell. I'm by the rocks.
Just from hearing his voice, can I tell where he is?
He sounds like he's on the other side of the pile.
All right, I'm gonna phase walk then. I'm just gonna phase walk through the rocks just to get on the other side.
That's pretty cool.
Just blip through.
Let me make sure you can actually do that.
I can teleport up to 30 feet to an unoccupied space that I can see. I did see it before.
I think it makes sense that you can't phase walk through that.
Damn.
Because the implication then would be that you could like phase walk through buildings, and I don't think that that's how it's intended. Like this is, it's just like the way that power is used in normal 5e is just like being able to like basically just like use your movement to like blip places. I don't think teleporting through like 6-foot piles of rubble is
okay.
Is that Misty Step? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so then I will just slowly start pulling rocks from the top then with the force.
Great. So you pull a rock from like the top of the ceiling, and about 30 pounds more rubble comes down from the ceiling that rock was like holding up in place and just adds to the pile.
Shit.
Somebody insert a metaphor about not being able to use the force to solve our problems, please.
I have a question.
Yes.
So from my side, what do I see? I obviously see the giant thing of rubble once I get up.
Mm-hmm.
Is the other exit still clear?
So so from your side, this is basically like roughly how the cave divided. Is that since you and Rama were further into the cave, like, from where you came from, and Akala stayed back, like, the cave is divided that way. So, like, you can see the, like, exit, like, to where this cave was going, where the woman that you were fighting fled to, but you can't see the way back. Akala can see the way back, but cannot progress forward in this cave.
Okay.
Great.
Rama, can you, like, turn on a light or something?
Oh yeah, gotcha. I'm gonna turn on my light. Please tell me it still works.
And just like keep talking,
just
so I can try and find you.
Just roll me a luck check just to make sure that all your equipment still works.
Wow, that's a 5.
Fuck.
So I'm gonna start keeping track of my rolls this session. I've averaged a 7.
Your flashlight does not come back on.
Do you have different dice? Can you use different dice?
Have
you been using the same set this whole time?
Yeah.
I mean, you usually use, like, Google, right? Just, like, a number generator. That's what you normally do.
Yeah. Before I found my dice after removing, I was using an ever-generator. I might switch to that.
Sometimes they just need a little break. Sometimes they need to warm up. Okay. Sometimes it's a vibe.
We'll use a digital generator. What do I even have?
I'm just gonna keep talking. My flashlight's broken. Thank goodness my super giga Mandalorian helmet tech is there, but the flashlight broke, of all things.
Yeah, while Rama is talking, I'm gonna try and get him out of the rubble.
That'd be great.
help. L and M0 start like lifting up rocks from Rama's body. So it's L and Rama and M0 in one part of the cave, and Akala in the other. So you guys are able to free Rama pretty quickly. Just taking the minor damage that you rolled initially from the cave-in. And now you guys are a little bit stuck.
All right, so I don't know if anybody here is a demolition expert, but I do have a couple of detonation mines.
I'm worried that might exacerbate the situation.
It's a good point. Just, it's a good plan, Z, you know.
Yeah. Akla, what are your thoughts?
I don't know, I might just have to go around to meet you at another place.
Gonna be okay?
I think so. I mean...
Whoa there. Come on. I'm not gonna go alone.
I've tried moving the rocks, it's just... There's more on top, I can't do anything.
Look, we're better off as a team, all right? What are you gonna do alone? Who's gonna shoot shit for you?
I don't know, I don't have any other solutions, do you?
Well, we'll make a solution. L, use the force. Quickly.
I try and burst the wall.
What do you mean, burst the wall?
I cause the earth to burst from beneath my feet. Each creature within range other than me must succeed on a dex saving throw or take 1d8 kinetic damage.
So, you're just doing, like, damage from underground to the wall?
Yeah, it's, yeah, basically, it's that, what is it called? Yeah, I'm basically just making the earth shake, trying to do that in a small area.
That'll make it better. That'll make it work. For sure.
What? Is it going to make it worse? Are we going to get more separated?
Kill one of us, sure.
I won't die. I'll be fine. Did we take damage from that cave-in?
I think so. I think I made 4. You guys roll damage.
4 damage. Yeah, 4.
Okay, I forgot to add that.
Okay, so L, you're using this power, which is called what again for us?
Burst.
Burst.
It's like Thunder Wave, but worse.
Yes, so you're trying to, like, shake this cave to not separate you guys anymore. First, I need to emphasize that we're talking about, like, multiple, like, tons of stone that is, like, piled up here in the middle of this cave.
For sure, for sure.
That you're trying to, like, shake loose.
It's called desperation, Rob.
It's so good for narrative. Okay.
So here's the thing, like, the nature of this spell is that you're, like, trying to shake, like, the whole cave around you that just, like, suffered a devastating cave-in because of, like, explosives placed around the cave.
Yeah, naturally.
So when you do this, the fissures that were in the stone around the cave worsen, and as you, like, shake, you see, like, initial success. Like, the ground starts shaking and, like, moving and separating, and you hear, like,
excellent, just according to plan,
like, craggling stone, like, being wrenched apart, and you see some of the stone that was, like, propped up, like, fall through some of these cracks, but then, like, you feel a huge shift in the cave floor, and you see that Anna's like, section of cave over there, like, shifts down very dramatically, like, 5 or 10 feet, and then the crack that you had formed, like, where that pile was, like, widens and widens, and suddenly, like, a ton of cave floor is falling out from under you too, and the, like, separation and distance in the cave becomes, like, more and more, and so, like, not only are you guys, like, vertically, like, quite far apart now, like, you are also, like, horizontally, like, you basically, like, split the cave. And, like, with all this shifting, I'm going to need another set of dexterity saving throws from all of you.
Sure, of course.
hold up. So L and I are moving upward. Like the ground's not going out from under us, right?
It kind of is, yeah. Like, just Akula's, like, side of the cave shifted harder, like, down. Like, if you can imagine that there is, like, a sort of, like, these are caves built on top of caves. When one area caves in, there is sometimes huge areas of, like, gap space that stones can fall down to. So, like, Akula just, like, fell pretty hard 20, 30 feet down. So I just need everybody to roll me, like, dexterity saving throws.
Yeah, it's 11.
Yeah, 13.
Would it help if I grabbed L and used the jetpack to, like, not have the ground goes out from under us, be able to just hover above it?
I'm going to say, like, this is happening very quickly. Like, you guys, like, it takes far less time for this to happen than it is to describe it. So, like, first, we're going to deal with the dexterity saving throws, which sounds like you guys all failed.
Five! Oh, shit, I forgot to use the digital this time. All right, that's a 10.
Wait,
do you want to... Maybe the DC is 15. Do you want to do that magic thing for me, Rama?
What do you have, 11?
Yeah.
There's no... I only get a plus a D6, so...
I mean, I have a 13, so, like...
I'll just roll a 6.
I don't have that many superiority dice left.
Okay, that's fair. That's fine.
Since you guys all failed, so in addition to like the cave floor itself shifting dramatically, a ton of material is also falling as well. And in some cases, like you're seeing like things are like electrical equipment that was stationed there is like catching fire, and like there are other like minor like disturbances and like things like happening in the rock that are creating like larger and larger fissures. The cave is filling with dust, and you hear the cackling laughter somewhere deep in the cave of a Cathar woman just and like the whole cave is still shaking. And at some point, L, you realize that, like, your force power initiated this. Something is making this dramatically worse. And Akula, you, like, fall, like, another 10 feet, and the floor drops out another 10 feet. And then, like, the shaking of it prompts you to fall completely into a dark, dark hole. You're not able to fully see on your descent how you end up where you end up, but you briefly lose consciousness and awareness as you fall deep into the cave system.
Akula! Akula, you okay over there? Akula! Fuck!
Do I take any damage from that?
You take 2 damage. I don't want to be too mean because reasons, but...
Because he's going to fuck us up later.
Al, I think Akula's hurt. Come on, let's go. Let's go get her.
Al, like, looks like he's thinking through something. Yeah. Right. We just got to keep moving forward.
That's the wrong direction.
There's no way back there.
We'll make a way back there.
We can't... I just made it worse.
I'm not losing her, too, all right?
We're not losing her. She
didn't answer when I called.
Akula is strong and clever, and she's fine. And all we have to do is make it to the other side, and she'll be waiting there for us.
How do you know? Is your force telling you that?
Something like that.
I'm gonna pick up a rock and throw it at the other rocks. Like, what's the point of all this fucking training if you guys can't move rocks?
I'm gonna push Rama. Like, I'm gonna shove you.
Jeez, I can't dodge that because I think I'm also facing the wrong direction.
What gives? We're on the same team here, L.
Yeah, so stop talking shit about us every 5 seconds.
Well, you know what? Sometimes you guys create more problems than you solve. Not on me.
I didn't see you solving anything here, by the way.
I wanted to blow it up.
Fine, go blow it up. You can blow it up now. What's stopping you, Rama? You think that's gonna fix things?
I'm going to take the Mandalorian helmet off with my natural face and show the scar that goes all the way down my face. It's like, a lightsaber did this. I don't trust you guys. I care about Akala. I care about you. But don't for a second think my problem with Jedi is some arbitrary fucking bullshit, okay?
I don't need you to lack the Jedi, but we cannot go through this cave if you don't trust me.
Do you trust me?
Yes, do you trust me?
I was expecting you to answer no, so, yeah. Look.
Insight.
I was actually expecting El to say no.
No, I want to insight if he actually trusts me or if he's just saying that.
Oh,
okay.
That's not great. Luckily, I can use my charisma instead. That's a 14.
I don't know how to set the DC. I would think that Rom is pretty bad at lying. So I would incline to say that like you should. I think that El would probably know, but I want to give you the last word, Rama, in case you feel like.
No, I mean, I can't persuade as easily, and I can't, you know, explain things, but I can lie. And, okay. But I'm not
roll
lying
off,
here.
Roll. Oh, okay.
So I can roll persuasion to convince him, but.
Well,
oh, natural 20. Finally.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to I think, you know, all things considered, if you were intending to tell the truth and, you know, El believes it, then I think that everybody here, I mean, this is your guys' fucking job, not my job. So
I trust you. Okay. And I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry too. But like, this is all I got. And I get you were hurt. And I'm sorry about that. And like, you don't need to tell me about the problems with the Jedi. But I'm doing the best I can. And frankly, this is all you have to work with.
Look. I lost Rosie. I lost a ship. Bounty hunter license. You two are the last things I have left to lose. I got my ship back. And, you know, some semblance of Rosie. But I can't get you guys back if I lose you.
Let's keep walking. I promise you. She'll be waiting for us.
All right. I'll put the helmet back on. May the Force be with you, Al.
Yeah, all that.
Okay, so you guys really only have one option in terms of where to go. Rama and El, you depart from the collapsed cave where your friend has fallen into a crumbling pit of rock and stone. As you move forward, unsure about her survival, you must await and confront what lays before you. And that is where we'll end the session.
What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit hyland.com.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.